today. I like it, amen. I know. How do you know? I just know. As we was talking in the men's classroom, again, you can't convince anybody through the scriptures, even if they don't believe the Bible is the Bible, what good scripture? But when you tell them what God's done for you, it's hard to argue with that. So praise the Lord for that truth this evening. All right, take your Bibles this evening to the book of Proverbs. We're going to finish chapter 3 this evening. And Proverbs chapter 3, I sure have enjoyed thus far our study of this book and the wisdom and the knowledge that we need and desire and that God wants us to have. Again, happy Mother's Day to everybody, too. I didn't say that earlier, but I hope you've had a good Mother's Day today. Appreciate all you mothers. Proverbs chapter 3 this evening. Tonight, probably going to hear something you're going to think, I ain't so sure about that. But I'm going to promise you, not because I'm saying it, but we'll give you scripture to back it up. It's a truth. And we live in such a liberal day and of what people think. You know, again, anybody ever have weird thoughts? I have some every once in a while. But just because you think it or just because somebody else says it, just because Google even might even say, yeah, that's right. This Bible is the final authority. It is our truth. And so what saith the Scriptures? So Proverbs chapter 3, let's stand together out of honor and reverence to the Word of God this evening. Proverbs chapter 3, we're going to read verses 31 through 35 this evening. Proverbs chapter 3, verse 31. God gives a warning here. He says, envy thou not, this is verse 31, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. For the froward is an abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. And again, verse 31 says, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. So let's pray. Father, we sure thank you, Lord, for the good songs, the good fellowship. God, thank you, as we've heard already this evening more than once, God, for our place of worship. Thank you for this church. God, for the heritage. God, I know without you it'd be nothing but walls. But God, I'm glad, Lord, you put your hand upon this place over these years. And God, we ask you once again, God, to continue to lead us and guide us. God, help us to stand sure in these days, God. And Lord, you know the needs of the hearts of people this evening. God, I do pray, God, Lord, that you'd help us, Lord, to see truth. And Lord, we'll give you all the glory for it. For us in Christ's name we do pray. Amen. You can be seated this evening. Not some doctor, not some preacher, but God himself here as we read through these verses of wisdom. And again, God desires to give us wisdom. It's not, again, about how smart a man is, but it's about using and practicing and putting to use the wisdom of God. It's not our wisdom, and it's not what we thought of, but God has given us this wisdom that we can live a life that would be pleasing unto the Lord. And here in verse 31 this season, God tells a great truth there. He says, envy not, or even envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. You know, envying is something that we've all probably said or thought sometime in our life. God here warns about this thought of not envying the oppressor. Many times listen, we're all human. We try to serve the Lord the best we can. Have you ever thought that sometimes you think, you know, this guy over here, he doesn't love God. He doesn't go to church. He doesn't tithe. He doesn't do anything. And boy, look at all that he's got. That's a pretty common thought in most saved people's lives. Even David wrestled that through Psalms. He would look at the world and wonder about why they seem to succeed. But God here is warning us, his children, to not envy the oppressor. Not to look at someone and think, boy, I wish I could have that, or I wish I could do that. And God warns us here to not envy those people. And again, we've all done that. We've all probably thought those things. But again, God has put some things here to help us in the knowledge and wisdom that He has here. But why does God say that? Why would God say not to envy the oppressor? Now, I know it's not because of satisfaction, because I know the Bible says that there is pleasure in sin for a season. We know that, as my pastor says, any old dead fish can float downstream. It'd be so easy to step away from truth. It takes somebody that has a will to see truth, to live for God, to stick in here, because the flesh just wants to give up. The flesh wants to say, what's the use? You know, the flesh says, you know, it'd be easier not to do this. But can I say this evening? There is a payday someday, man. It pays to serve the Lord. It pays to live for God. Even though the ungodly today might seem like they have so many things, and boy, I wish I could have this, or wish I could live like that, I promise you, according to the Word of God, and we'll see that this evening, what the world has today is the best they'll ever have. Because when they die, they're going to go to a place called hell. And listen, friend, this is the worst that we're ever going to have. Why? Because when I die, I'm going to a place called heaven, a place of no mores. So, but God warns us because it's so natural. It's so easy to sit back and say, well, you know, if I didn't do anything, I've actually heard people, I don't want to study my Bible because I don't want to learn something, because you'll be accountable for what you know. Well, that's crazy in itself. That's like saying, well, I ain't going to eat no food when you're starving to death. Well, you're going to have to eat sooner or later. So listen, we need to understand that this book is for our help and our good. But God warns here not to envy, not to lust after, not to desire those things of the world and the oppressor. And then verse 32 answers the question of why. Why would God say that? And that's basically, verse 32 is the prime part of the message this evening. And it's one of those things, again, as we go through it, you'll see hopefully something you probably never thought of this evening. Again, the Bible says in verse 31, envy thou not the oppressor, and choose none of his ways. Verse 32 is the why. For the forward is abomination to the Lord, but his secret is with the righteous. Now, we just read that verse more than once now. There's a word that God says into there that we'll read, but I wonder, just as we throw it out, I didn't realize it was going to run into this way, but why? We talked about that word and we discussed. We just read a word that many times we know the word, we can pronounce the word, you can probably spell the word. But God says to not envy the oppressor. Why? Because it's an abomination to the Lord. Now, my question is, that's everybody okay? That's what God said, right? He said the envying of the oppressor is an abomination to the Lord. Is that what it says? That's what it says. Now, let me ask you something. What does it mean? What is an abomination? Now, I'm not asking this for outward speaking, but I'm just asking you to think to yourself, do you know? How many times do we read words in our Bible? We know the word, but we never take the time to really understand what that really means. I believe this is one of those words that many times we know this word. We even maybe use this word from time to time. That's abomination. But what does that mean? You ask yourself right now, do you know? Everybody's Googling. Google probably won't give you the right answer on this one. What does it mean? This thought of an abomination. Sounds bad, doesn't it? Abomination. That sounds like something really bad, doesn't it? It's not just an abomination, but it's an abomination to what? To the Lord. It's one thing to something to bother me, but God says this is something that's an abomination to Him. But again, you ask yourself, what does that really mean? Well, let me answer it for you this evening. The word abomination is this. It means it is an extreme hatred. An extreme hatred. I remember I read that definition, and when I was in college, I had to take a psychology class. It's one of those classes you pay money for just so they, you know, I learned hardly nothing in that class. I was going to learn how to put wires and run robots and PLC programs. I could care less about psychology. But I do remember our psychology professor. She was a psychiatrist for the Winston-Salem Police Department. And I remember her saying about hate. She says, nobody hates anybody. That's what she said. And I was thinking, lady, I don't know if I agree with you. And then she said, well, the reason people say hate and they don't really mean it, because hate means to do bodily or physical harm. She says, nobody really hates anyone. There was a woman beside of me. I don't remember her name. I can see her face. She raised her hand and says, I don't care what you say. I hate my ex-husband. She said that. And I think she meant it. But God says that a person that envies the oppressor, somebody that envies the ones that don't care, the ones that are worldly, the things of this world, God says he hates the things of this world. God says that that is an abomination to the Lord. It means an extreme hatred, not just hate, an extreme hatred. It also means to detest. Now let me ask you something this evening. Can you really believe that God would say he hated someone or something? Most people sitting in churches today would walk out, get mad, and say, there's no way. God loves everybody. He sure does. Loved them so much he died for them. But God here says that there's some things that he extremely hates. He detests them. So the man or the deed or whatever it is that does these things, God says, I hate. Let me give you some examples this evening. Proverbs chapter 6. Look there. Verse number 16. Now, I'll let you find that place and then I'll give you this and we'll go through these scriptures real quickly this evening. I've said this, and I'll probably mess up and say it again because it's not really true. I've said this. Hate the sin, love the sinner. But that's not true. God actually hates people. No way, preacher, that's not true. Don't say that until you know the Bible. Does God love people? Oh, beyond measure. But there's things that people do and people that do the things that God says, I hate that and I hate them. Just let it sink in. Now, I'm not going to go around and tell everybody that God hates them. But God does say this. And I want you to understand, he says there that to not envy the oppressor, because why? It's an abomination. It's an extreme hatred. It's he detests. I mean, that's pretty strong wording. It isn't the preacher says he hates it. There's a lot of things I hate. God says it's an extreme hatred. God says I detest these things. Let's look at them. Proverbs chapter 6. Look in verse number 16. Now, this is hard language. You probably have to have a PhD and probably have to understand Greek and Latin and Hebrew and all that to understand this, but we'll try. Verse 16 says, these six things doth the Lord hate. Now, I don't have a board up here. We try to go through all the Hebrew and the Greek and all these different things to try to get those words out, but basically it means what it says. These six things the Lord hates. It's pretty commonplace. It's an abomination. Let's look at them. Verse 16, these six things that the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination unto him. Not only does he hate, but he extremely hates. He detests. What does he say? Verse 17, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, an heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, feet that be swift in running to mischief. It isn't that I hate Facebook. God didn't say that. What is God saying? God says, I hate a proud look, a lying tongue. Those are people. A proud look, a lying tongue, a hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imagination, feet that be swift in running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among the brethren. That's all people. It's not just the thing. He hates the people that do those things. Y'all all right? God says that's an abomination, an extreme hatred. He detests those things. I can't help but think there in Revelations, the church there, I wish he was cold or hot, but you make me sick. Why? Because you're lukewarm. Let me give you some more. Proverbs chapter 12. Several places we're going to run here on this thought. I want you to see it. I'm not making this up. Proverbs 12, verse 22. Verse 22 says, lying lips. Now, that's not just lies. He says lying lips. I've never seen a lie that just had lips. He says lying lips, verse 22, are what? An abomination. An extreme hatred. He detests it. Lying lips are an abomination to the Lord. I don't like liars either. But God says, I extremely hate them. I detest them. That's God. That's the same God says, for God so loved the world. But here he says, I hate lying lips. Look in Proverbs chapter 11, verse number 20. They that are of a froward heart are abomination to the Lord. That's people. People that have that mentality. People that have that forwardness about them. People that love themselves more than they love God. God says, I hate that. Why? Because God's a jealous God. And God says, it's an abomination to me. You know, we have painted, not we, but our society has painted God as somebody that you shouldn't fear, somebody that just loves, somebody that's always for you. That's not our God. And if people would just see all sides of God, He is for us. But if you go against God, God's against you. It's an abomination. Look in Proverbs chapter 16. And I think, again, I think what's happened in a lot of our churches too is we've been so light with sin that when sin enters our homes and our families, instead of dealing with it in the right way, we make excuses for it. But it doesn't change what God says about it. And we've taken away again that fear of God. Look here in Proverbs chapter 16, verse number 5. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Everyone? Is that not depicting a person? Everyone. Everyone that is proud in heart is an abomination to the Lord. Look at Proverbs chapter 15, verse 26. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. The thoughts of the wicked are an abomination to the Lord. Proverbs 24. Proverbs 24. Verse number 9. The thought of foolishness is sin. And the scorner, that's a person. And the scorner is an abomination to men. The scorner. Proverbs 28. Isn't it amazing? Before I read this, I'll put something in your mind. Isn't it amazing? I got a book. My uncle gave it to me. It's called, God of the Foxholes or something like that. It's a guy who wrote accounts of men that during battle, war, and their foxholes experiences and things of God. And one of the things he talks about is when a man's in that place, there are no atheists. And I believe that's true. But isn't it amazing? We've all met people. They'll cuss God. They'll curse church. They'll run the church preacher and God himself down the road, down the road. But when something happens to them, their wife, their children, their family, oh, pray for this. They don't need God until tragedy comes. Look what God says here. Again, I'm not saying this. This is what God said. Proverbs 28, look at verse number 9. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law. That's a person. A person that says, I don't need God. I don't need the Bible. I don't need to know anything. I don't need that. It says, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. God says, I hate that. They don't need me any other time. But now they're going to pray to me. Remember what we saw there in chapter 1 of Proverbs, I think it was, about how God's going to laugh? That's that same God. But go back to Proverbs 15. God, if you'll do this, I'll do better. God, I promise. God, if you'll just fix this flat tire I've got in my life, you know, I'll do better. Well, look what God says about people like that. Proverbs 15, look at verse number 8. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination to the Lord. Even the prayers of the wicked, God says, they're an abomination to me. I detest them. I extremely hate them. Why? Because he knows their heart's not to God. Everybody seeing God all right tonight? That's the same God. It'd do us good to see this side of God. Again, sin's not something we just play with. Look at Proverbs chapter 21. Proverbs chapter 21, verse 27. Same thing. The sacrifice of the wicked is an abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? Think you're going to buy God? Think you're going to pay your way out of this thing? Oh, no. God says, that's an abomination to me. I detest it. Proverbs chapter 17. This is what God says. Proverbs 17, verse 15. He, that's a person, right? That's a person, right? All right. He that justifieth the wicked, and he that condemneth the just, even they both are abomination to the Lord. God says, I extremely hate them. I utterly detest them. All they got to do, though, is ask God to save them. And that same God that says, I hate them, will be the same God that loves them, forgives them. But he doesn't wink at sin. He doesn't excuse sin. Neither should we. A couple more places and we'll be done with that. Look at Proverbs chapter 11. This will be our last one in Proverbs. And I want to give you one in the New Testament and we'll move on. Proverbs chapter 11. Verse number 1 says, a false balance is an abomination to the Lord. A false balance. Somebody that does business in the wrong way. God says, I utterly detest that. He says, I hate that. Let me give you one New Testament and then we'll move. Look in Luke chapter 16. Verse number 14, Luke 16, verse number 14, says, and the Pharisees also, who were covetous, heard all these things, and they derided him. Verse 15 says, and he, the Lord, said unto them, ye are they which justify yourselves before men, but God knoweth your hearts, for that which is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. God warns us in the wisdom of God not to envy the oppressor, not to envy the things of this world, not to desire to lust after those things. Why? Because it makes God sick. It's an utterly extreme hatred. He detests that heart of a man. And he warns us. Again, you don't hear this. In most churches, you don't see this on TV. They want to show you that hippie God of love and love and love and love. But church, we've got to understand what sin is and what sin will do. And what God says about sin. And God calls these things an abomination. He loves righteousness. He loves right. You do right, he loves right. But he hates wickedness. Go back to Proverbs chapter 3 and we'll run through the rest of those verses real quickly this evening. Proverbs chapter 3. Again, he says that, envy thou not, verse 31, the oppressor and choose none of his ways. Choose none of them. Get far away from it. For the forward is an abomination to the Lord, but the secret is with the righteous. Verse 33, the curse of the Lord. Does that sound like the God that most people talk about? The curse of the Lord. Can you imagine God putting a curse on something? He's already cursed this world. The Bible says the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitation of the just. The curse of the Lord. Wouldn't you rather have the blessings of God and not the curse of God? What a difference God makes. And again, I couldn't help but think of many things throughout the Bible of men that we've seen God bless and God bless into the world. And you think, and probably one of the ones that come to my mind is Lazarus and the rich man. That rich man, he had all he wanted. He fared greatly every day. Poor Lazarus, sick and afflicted and laid there day after day and let the dogs lick his sores. What would the world's desire be? to be the rich man or to be Lazarus? They would want to be the rich man. But I ask us tonight, which would we want to be? Now, there's nobody in here that wants to be sick, and nobody wants to be poor. Nobody wants to, and that's not what God's saying. But contentment with God is great gain. Which, he says, curse. Look at it again, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 33. The curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked. Don't you think that rich man instantly in hell realized he wished he had what Lazarus had? But it's too late. I believe even Lazarus, with all his problems, had a peace of God about him that knew that everything was going to be all right. That's that peace that passeth all understanding. And that's what we see here again. He says, again, verse 33, the curse of the Lord is in the house of the wicked, but he blesseth the habitations of the just. Look, it's not what we see right now. It's not how we are. Look, whatever you are, whatever state you're in right now, it's not permanent in this world. But what God has given me eternal, nothing can take it away. Nothing can steal it. Nothing can rob me. Those are the things that should encourage us. Verse 34. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. You reap what you sow. That is a Bible truth. I don't care who you are. You will reap what you sow. He says, verse 34, surely he, who's the he? The Lord. Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. And here we have a truth that runs all the way through the Bible, that God will repay. God don't overlook. A man that sows to the world will what? Reap of the world. You sow of the Spirit, what are you going to reap of? Spirit. Let me give you some verses. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse number 6, but he giveth more grace. Wherefore he saith, God resisteth the proud, but giveth grace unto the humble. You want the things of this world, you're going to get the things of this world. If you want the things of God, God says, I'll pay you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 5 and 6 says, likewise, ye younger, submit yourselves unto the elder. Yea, all of you be subject one to another, and be clothed with humility, for God resisteth the proud, and giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. That's the promise of God. To the scorner, he will scorn them. I promise you, and I don't say this with any... God will justly judge. Every man, that's me, that's you, will stand before an almighty God. Now, I'm glad I'm going to stand before him as a saved man. Everything of mine's under the blood. Oh, there's a bonfire coming. He's going to judge my works and things that I've done since I've been saved, and those things that are pleasing will make it. The things that are no good will be burned up. But to a man that scorns God, a man that hates God, a man that loves this world, he'll stand before God and be judged. And God will cast him out into outward darkness. He'll be in that lake of fire for eternity. Every knee will bow. Be sure. And God says again, he says in verse 34, surely he scorneth the scorners. God don't overlook. God don't forget. You might think you're getting by with it. You might think nobody else knows. I promise you, God knows. But he giveth grace unto the lowly. Job chapter 8, verse 20 says, behold, God will not cast away a perfect man, neither will he help the evildoer. That's the just of God. Psalms chapter 18. Look at that with me this evening if you want to. Psalms chapter 18. Psalms chapter 18, verse 25 and 6 says this: With the merciful, thou wilt show thyself merciful. With an upright man, thou wilt show thyself upright. With the pure, thou wilt show thyself pure. And with the forward, thou wilt show thyself forward. That's what God says. God is right. God is just. And God will. Again, what Proverbs 3 say? Surely he scorneth the scorners, but he giveth grace unto the lowly. I promise that's a truth. And then last of all this evening, verse number 35. The wise shall inherit glory, but shame shall be the promotion of fools. Again, no matter what I think, no matter what I feel, no matter what I say, God will rightly judge every man. He knows his sheep. You live to the world, you receive of the world. Live to God, you'll receive of God. So that's chapter 3 this evening. And again, what a book. This one chapter is full of so many wisdoms. I want to show you one thing this evening that I read, and I thought this is pretty interesting. There's 35 verses in this chapter. Now, you math scholars, what would be the middle verse? The middle of this chapter, this great chapter of wisdom, look at what verse 18 says. She, being that wisdom, that knowledge, that understanding, she is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is every one that retaineth her. On both sides of the middle verse, you see the blessings and the cursings of God. For those that accept wisdom, you see the blessings. From those that refuse wisdom, you see the cursings. But God says right in the middle, look at it again. She is a tree of life to them that lay hold upon her, and happy is everyone that retaineth her. Who's her? The wisdom, the knowledge, the understanding of God. It is for us. God has given that to you. The desire wisdom, godly wisdom. Let's stand together this evening.